And I'd like to thank everyone that's read, helped us open the meeting again, and take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. Warm welcome to any visitors, and a huge welcome to anyone that might be new to Narcotics Anonymous with us this evening. We hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So we are a speaker meeting, and it does fall on me to introduce our speaker tonight. So I'm really delighted to say that he's one of the few individuals online that I've actually met in person. I've known this gentleman for a number of years, quietly, watched his recovery, watched him grow, watched him go through some difficult stuff, and still be here, still keep coming back, still clean. And yeah, so I'm yeah, just without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Aaron, who's come along to share his experience tonight with us, 40, 45 minutes, whatever he's comfortable with. So, Aaron, the floor is yours. Please jump in and share with us, my friend, and welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Hi, Aaron.
Thanks, anyone else doing service, and hello, everyone.
Hi, Aaron.
I did a share on here. I told it was sometime last year, I think it was, and it was kind of a generic. Yeah, it was kind of the generic share that I tend to do if I'm doing a main share, and I didn't want to do that. I don't want to do that today, do you know? Because you know, I think a lot of the time when I'm doing that particular share, it's probably not completely accurate. Do you know, I can embellish. I can quite easily embellish things. I don't mean completely lie about things, but just kind of flower things up. Do you know, make things seem quite exciting. Oh, the excitement of going to prison and all these exciting times doing crimes. And do you know, it's. That's you know they those weren't really my problems. Those weren't the reasons why I come to these meetings, why I ended up staying in these meetings and carry on sitting in these chairs in these. Well, it's online now, but you know a lot of the time it's been small cold church halls, do you know? So I'm going to try something different. I did lay down. I tried to go to. I tried to have a nap this afternoon, but I couldn't sleep, and my head started ticking. And so I don't want to. I just want to. I kind of want to know about me, probably more than anyone else in here. Do you know? And if I keep, you know, sitting in these chairs and giving out these shares that aren't really giving a full picture of what you know, what's where I'm coming from, what the problems I'm trying to you know, get through and understand. Do you know, I'm not helping myself. I'm not helping anyone else. Do you know, and I need to, you know, I come to NA nowadays because I know how important it is for me to change and to find some answers, not just to stay clean. You know, I need to understand why I've lived the way I have, why I do the things I do, why I think the way I think. One thing that will be similar is a lot of the time those shares, they start at a certain time when I was really young, because it's when it kind of, I think it kind of kicked. I do think it kind of kicked off. I started getting bullied by someone. I was probably about four, maybe come up to five, and I started getting systematically bullied. And I was, you know, I was terrified. And I just, you know, I tried my best to avoid this older kid. And it's the first time I felt, you know, before that I hadn't really felt fear. I can't I can remember when I was quite young, probably 3 or something like that was when I really got memories from. And I know that I was a normal kid. I was a happy. I was adventurous. I had a sense. I'd already start to develop a sense of humor. And I just, this change that. That's when things changed for me. And not that long after. This is something I remembered only earlier. This is something that's kind of been hidden for decades. My own brother started to bully me as well, and that I think that was the turning point for me. Not so surprised that someone outside of my bubble. Started to bully me. It was a bit of an eye-opener. I didn't know. I thought everyone was going to be a bit like me, a nice kid. And that was my welcome to the real world. And then, but when my brother started bullying me, I think that's when things changed. I just thought, I can't. I've got no safe space here. I can try and stay away from these people outside doing it, but how am I supposed to stay away from the person in my house? But I did try. I went. I started around that time. I started. Just walking up, it was about a mile. It was different, this was the 70s. It was different. People were still leaving the back doors open. There wasn't any talk about paedophiles or anything back then. It was just everyone was. I don't know. It was just different. And it was okay that I was walking like nearly a mile to these woods. And I used to just stay in these woods for hours, and I'd been making camps, and I had my little book of plants, and I'd be, I was a curious kid, and I just needed to keep my mind focused on something so that I didn't, I suppose it was my first time that I was actively trying to escape my reality, just by putting all my efforts into something else, so that prevented me from seeing the world as it was. And I was just frightened. I was a frightened kid. I really thought much past this, but it's some I've got to live out I've got to live life. I can't just stay in the woods all the time, and I can't not bump into people. I had to go to school. It's As soon as I was being taken into nursery, and then school, and then I had all these different people, and I just felt so. Found it hard to breathe, and but I soon found that if I acted the clown, or if I acted a bit naughty, if I was a bit naughty, which was different to some of the other kids who seemed to be frightened of these other people. I was frightened of everyone, but I was just trying to find a way to exist in this place, around these people, all these personalities. And I found that helped me to do it. That helped me to do it, and I kind of went down that road for a long time. That was, I suppose, the masks had come on by then. That's when I started wearing those masks, and over time, going through the different schools, and actually meeting different people outside of school, I kind of got the reputation of being the naughty kid, the kid who was always up for doing stuff that the other kids weren't. We moved areas when I was probably about 7. It was great in one way. I was away from these people, but I went to a completely different area. It was definitely more the area I moved to as well. It was definitely more I don't know what's the right word. Definitely more working class, definitely. Do you know, gritty. It was grit. These were. I was kind of moving from a place where they were kind of nice, tough kids to real tough kids, and I had to try and blend into this. We lived in a news agent's, and I soon found that I could get round a lot of these people. I got a lot of these people being my friends when I was stealing cigarettes from the shop or whatever, and anything naughty they do, I'd get involved, and it's mad. I come into these meetings. If I'd have come into a meeting when I first came to NA and someone started talking like this, I'd have probably gone by now, to tell the truth. I'd have probably left and looked for another meeting or something, because I mean, what's this got to do with drugs? What's this? That's the reason I come to these places. I can't stop using. I just can't stop using. I don't want to use, but I can. I'm at a point now where I can't physically stop. But that using didn't start from nothing. That using didn't start just because I thought, oh, that would be nice to try that. It wasn't. Over time, I just found things. The first time I used something, I used. I was probably only 5 or 6, because people back in the 70s as well, they'd go and get you a real beer shandy from the bar and give it to the kids. It was quite normal. So I had this, and I liked this taste of this. I probably wasn't really aware that it was changing something inside of me. I don't think I was aware of it. I just thought, oh, but there was obviously some kind of change, because I kind of recognized the taste of that with feeling good. And as time went on, and those substances changed from Tipex to Tipex to, I'm not gonna make a list there of the things I tried, but I'm sure there's a few things that didn't make the list, but I don't think there's many. When certain things, especially like the tip, I definitely felt different. I liked that. I felt confident, because I wasn't used to feeling confident, and that goes for a lot of the other things I took. Whether it's the weed that really relaxed me, because I was far from being relaxed. I was always 100 miles an hour and frantic. Trying to just stay doing something, so I didn't stop for too long, and my mind didn't kick in, and the fear overtook everything like it usually would. I think these are the reasons why my life went the way it did. I was never a stupid kid. Not in like the academic term anyway. I was always, I was quite clever. I was an active, I was quite good at certain sports. I could interact with people. There was nothing fundamentally wrong with me. I just had these fears from my experiences from being young, and I found that these substances gave me a way out of there. But unfortunately, there's the side effects from that as well, and my side effects can involved hurting a lot of people. betraying people, stealing from people, hurting people, prisons, depression, all these things came off this. But my most the most important thing for me was that I kept this fear away. So the the thought that the drugs could go wasn't even an option. Not for me, it wasn't an option at all. That stuff had to go. Oh, it's all worldly other stuff. I'll start doing it right, so that I don't end up getting locked up in places. My life's gonna, I'm gonna work this out. And yeah, that's not something I managed to do. My life just kept getting darker and darker. And I found that I found that I couldn't really handle the emotional sides of it. If I'm, anyone who hurt me, I couldn't handle that emotional side. Especially the emotional hurts, to tell the truth. So my relationships with females was. It was not very successful, because once if things didn't go perfectly and they broke up with me, that just hurt me on a level that pushed me further and further away from wanting to get close to life. That pushed me closer to taking things that were going to take me further away from those feelings. I was stuck in that cycle for such a long time, and it took me to some really dark places, and I kept hurting people, and I kept pushing people away, and then I kept getting hurt, and then people died, and oh God, God, I was broken when I got to, I was I, you know what, I'm still broken. But when I first came to an NA meeting, I was broken and had no idea what the hell was wrong with me, how I'd got there, how I was still alive, what I was going to do, why I was still here. I just didn't know. Loads of questions, and I had no idea. I got to NA by accident. I was in a hostel with my dog in the middle of Birmingham, and I only agreed to go to this meeting because it got me out of this hostel, because it was a wild environment to be in, and I just wanted a break from that. I didn't know anything about NA. I came, and it's just, I remember, but it was nice that people seemed to have some kind of care. They asked me if I wanted to drink, and people sat down and talked to me. I can't really remember any of those things. I remember it was quite a while ago, because they were still smoking in these meetings. There was ashtrays dotted around the room. So I didn't come to find some answers to this stuff. I didn't think this was a place for me. I thought this was really nice, that I could come somewhere. There seemed to be nice people. They obviously weren't like me. They didn't look like me. They didn't sound like me. They didn't have that same look in their eyes. When you looked in their eyes, there was some life in their eyes. I didn't have that. But it was nice to be around those people. It had been a long time since I've been around anything like that. And I had nothing better to do, so why not just keep going to these meetings? Why not? I didn't I'm not gonna I'm not going to I'm not gonna get what these people have got, I'm not gonna stop using. I'm gonna carry on doing what I do to cope with life. And but I kept going to these meetings. I kept going to these meetings, and I kept, I don't know when it was when I thought I might be able to get something what these people have got. I don't know. I know that well before that, I just thought I want to. I like how I started to like how I felt in the brief moments that I was in these places. I started to like that I had people who seemed like I seemed like I had actual friends who seemed like on the level, even though for quite a while I didn't trust that it was real. I thought there was some kind of, there was going to be some kind of something I'd have to pay towards this at some point. So I just kept coming, like, and I started taking on a service. I quite quickly noticed that it seemed to be the same people doing the service at this point. There was a lot of people doing all the service at all these meetings, because by this point, I was doing meetings every single day. I was walking for miles to some of these meetings in the snow, in the rain, in the wind. I had no money for buses, but I knew I wanted to go to these meetings, and I was sure that I was going to start using the way I was using before at any point, because that was, I'd had brief moments where I'd have a few days where I calmed down a bit and I was just smoking a little bit of this or drinking a little bit of this, and I didn't want that to happen. I kind of started wanting what these people had at some point, whether or not I thought that I'd actually be able to get that. That's a different question, but I wanted to put my efforts into doing what these people had done to get what they had, because they would when they were sharing in the meetings, they were saying all the things, they were kind of saying, giving stories that were similar to mine, and they'd been to places that I'd been, and I thought that can't be right. How can look at how you're dressed, look at how you look, and look at the colour in your cheeks, and how you can laugh, and how you're enjoying life. How can you enjoy life when you've got nothing inside you to temper all that hurt underneath? I just didn't understand it, but I'd run out of ideas. I was sick of just wanting to die all the time. I was at that point. I'd wasted 10 years of my life in prison. I'd just turned 30. Not long. Yeah, I turned. I was early 30s. And I just, I thought this was my, this is it. This is it. And, this stuff is great. This stuff is great for, you want to get clean. Wow. Do those simple suggestions. Do one or two of those simple suggestions. In my experience, do one, two, three of those simple suggestions, and stay clean. That was what I did at first. I didn't, I did what I needed to do, and once again, I started to act a certain way. And I acted like I knew what I was doing, and I wrote step work so that it put me in a better light, and it sounded really good, and there's lots of superfluous words in there. There was far longer than what they needed to be. A lot of my steps, I had a very patient sponsor at the time, and some of those steps we had to read it out over days. Because there was a load of waffle in there, but I seemed like I knew what I was doing. I started to get healthy. I'd done more and more service posts and stuff, in different parts of the service structure, and it was all a farce. I'd just been doing what I'd been doing for most of my life, just acting like I knew what was going on, acting like I was tough, acting on like I was smart, like I was different, do you know? And I was, and it didn't help me, do you know? So I stay clean, but I was crazy. I was clean, but I was sick. Underneath it all, I was sick. When I wasn't in those meetings, when I wasn't doing that service, when I was out in the real world, when I was in or in that relationship with that person, the real sick addict was present, I'm not going to go step by step over what happened, but I stopped doing the stuff. I started to believe that I'd got some kind of handle on this, and I actually started to believe that I was responsible for some of the good stuff that had happened to me. And I dropped things down. I moved away, and I thought I don't need them anymore. And I changed the Facebook profile. I changed my phone number. I moved miles away, and I got a new group of friends. I really went full hog on this. I didn't even have resentments with NA. I didn't. I just thought I knew better. Do you know? I thought I don't need this. I'm not like those. And I found out over the next 5 years that I'm no different at all. Do you know? I'm just a really, really sick addict who can't live his life on his own without the use of drugs and keep it manageable. Do you know? I ended up back in prisons. I lost relationships. My daughter didn't have a good start to a life. I had a young daughter in recovery. I wasn't there. I went back to that same place. I was heavily in drugs, heavily in crime, heavily in resentment and anger. And after a few years, that is it. I had my chance and I blew it. And this is it. Just suck it up, because this is your reality and this is how it's going to be for you and this is how you're going to finish. Do you know? The sooner the better, as far as I was concerned. And I did think that. And I was on the way to Spain with a big bag of money. Didn't belong to me. Didn't matter to me either. And I ended up making a phone call instead to someone I was in recovery in Birmingham. They'd moved to Weston. They'd been living in Weston for a while, and I phoned them and I told them what I was going to do, because I think deep down I knew that it was just I'm just changing locations. I'm not changing the script of my life. All I'm doing is prolonging things, and I'm just changing the location where I'm gonna have a horrible existence, because that's what had happened most of the times before. He helped get me into a dry house down here, and I tried it, and I tried again. Do you know? And I did the same things again. Literally did the same things again. There were certain things that I didn't do, so I did those few things again. Did some service, did some steps. Just kept going to going to these meetings. Started all over again. Started to look good, sound good. Got the positions in the, looked like I knew what I was doing. Wasn't changing, got the relationship, and I messed that up as well. I messed that up because of this my way of doing this program, which is not the way it was suggested. That's the truth. That broke down when I I was over 5 years clean at that point, and that broke down. Other times before, some that that kind of pain, my only way out is to use drugs. My only way out is to lash out or do something that will take me away from those feelings. And I just I thought, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep doing it. And I thought, there's some things I'm doing which are obviously good because I'm staying clean. But there's obviously some things that I'm not doing because I'm not changing. There's no recovery. This thing has happened, and I just feel lost. I feel like I've got no defense against this whatsoever. Do you know? I don't want to use. I would have eventually. I wanted to kill myself, you know, and I didn't want to feel like that. That was one of the reasons why I kept coming back the first time, because I didn't want to keep feeling like killing myself, you know, and I didn't want this life. And so I'd start to do things differently. You know, I reached out. I wasn't good at reaching out. I'm very stubborn. I think I can think my way out of this situation. I can get through this. I can do it. And I, even though I've read all the literature thousands of times, and I hear we do recover. I never took it, and I thought I need to start taking notice of what this program's asking me to do, and you know, and listen to these people in the meetings who've got through situations that I'm now going through, and how they got through it, you know. And I did start reaching out, and this is when I came. Although I'd been coming on online meetings for a while before, I first met Steve in probably 2006, maybe, on some. The UK ones, I think we were typing messages in the box and all sorts. It wasn't Zoom or anything. But when at that point, I'd not that point, you know, after the breakup, you know, Zoom was up and running just after it was after the pandemic, and I hit these meetings. You know, I still do service on the. You know, one of the meetings that I first went, you know, I even started, you know, I'd started a meeting before that actually, while I was still with that, with my ex. I'd got used to staying, and I just kept coming to these meetings, and I was doing probably 4 or 5 meetings a day, and I restarted my steps, and then I got involved and started doing service on these online meetings, and I really threw myself in. And I think the step work, mate, was a big difference. You know, there were two things that I hadn't done in the previous times that have made a difference to my recovery today, and that is. The step work, not that I wasn't writing step, but I wasn't writing step work. I was writing words, but I wasn't being honest. I wasn't being thorough. I wasn't using the willingness and the open-mindedness and the courage and all these spiritual principles that it's asking, you know, trying to get me to develop so that I can go through these steps in a way that will help me to get some kind of understanding around what I'm dealing with and how I can, you know, keep going forward to try and change this reality into another reality. I've done that, you know, I've worked through the steps. I'm currently working through the traditions as well, actually, because I feel like relationships is a big one for me. I need a lot of work around that. And the other thing was the higher power. Do you know, I didn't, you know, I don't go down the religious route. You're not going to bump into me in a church, if I'm honest, unless we're at a wedding or a funeral. It's not for me. Nothing against people who it does, you know, whatever works, you know, mine. I needed to develop some kind of connection to a higher power. It was quite obvious that I can't run this show on my own. You know, it's quite obvious that I need someone else to drive this bus, because I'm just going to keep. I should have got the link off him before he went. So I'm just going to keep crashing the bus. And I've got that, and it's been such a game changer, because since then, you know, not just that breakup, life has been majorly difficult. It's as though it happened for a reason. It is. It feels like it's happened for it that happened for a reason to push me in a direction where I really took, got on board with it with this program, so that I did have that strong connection to a higher power that was going to help me get through some difficult times, because I've had a catalogue of difficult times since then, and I've managed to stay clean, and I think I've managed to grow throughout that. I still fail. I still fall on some things. I still sometimes hold on to some resentments that I really find hard to shake. I still sometimes get angry, not as often, not as often, not very often, but it still happens. I still make mistakes. I still talk before I think now and again. But I'm definitely changing, and I've stayed clean. I've recently turned 7 years. I turned 7 years about two weeks ago or so. So I'm still in with a chance. And I know the cleaner I've got has just shown, all it's done really is shown me that I've got so far to go. The cleaner I get, the more I realise how much I need to change, how little I know, and how much I need to keep trying to break down that ego, get rid of those masks, do what I need to do to keep those masks off, keep that ego down, just so the real Aaron can find his way out and experience these joys that I hear about in these meetings. Thank you for I hope that's enough. Thank you for letting me asking me to share, Helene. And I hope someone got something from it. But if not, there's lots and lots of meetings. And if you keep coming to them, you'll definitely hear something that's going to resonate with you. So thanks for listening. Cheers.